Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. I hope you are having a terrific Thursday. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. I am Kim Munson. Molly is actually taking a couple of days off. She is down in Florida, and she is scalloping with her family. This is an annual trip that they have. And so in studio, we have with us a good friend, Susan Harris. Susan, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. You and I were just laughing as we were going on the air. Just got a text from Molly, and she said, go get him. I just got hit by a car at the toll booth. Welcome to Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Happy vacation, Molly. I hope it gets better.
I hope it wasn't her fault.
That's right. Oh, you know? My gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, Susan, welcome. We are the AmeriChicks. Check out our website. There's all kinds of great information there. All of our shows are archived there, and that is AmeriChicks.com. Our Facebook is AmeriChicks. And then we also have our I Am a Movement AmeriChicks Facebook page. So check that out. We'd love it if you'd like it. If there's anything that you think you'd like to share, definitely do that because that's the way we communicate. So welcome. It's great to have you listening with us. And we're going to kind of jump into what's going on. Susan, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you. You are the board president of a local nonprofit, Mile High Behavioral Healthcare. You're a former CPA, a former CFO. You're a wife, a mom. And your current mission is that you want to inspire others to take responsibility and fully engage in their own health and happiness. And we're going to talk about that today.
That sounds great. Yeah, I just, I really feel like everybody needs to look in the mirror first and make sure you have your life in order so that you can help make sure that the America that we want is part of everyone's life.
Yeah, and I think that you said this, you know, that on an airplane, the flight attendant says, make sure that you have your oxygen mask on before you assist somebody else. So that's kind of your premise here.
That's right. That's right. You've got to be healthy and happy and together before you can really go out in the world and live your best life and do what you need to do for your community.
Yeah. And I think every person has a purpose. I think every individual is unique and special and valued. And I think that it's, you know, finding your purpose. But one of the first things to thrive and prosper is to make sure that you know, have a job and that you are taking care of yourself and those kinds of things.
Yeah, just get the basics.
Yeah. Basics. I'm going to segue over to something a little different for just a moment. We were talking about this, and that is Washington. I am very disappointed, Susan, that Congress has gone on vacation. They didn't get health care done. It looks like they're dancing around tax cuts or a tax plan. We're going to be bumping up against our debt ceiling here shortly. And I am just really frustrated. In private enterprise, in real life, you don't go home until the job's done.
That's right. Yeah, you don't have that luxury of just shutting down and saying, we'll get to it later. And, you know, the idea that the American people's expectations are too high, that we've set the bar too high for our representatives. It's disturbing, quite frankly, that we've sent this group to Washington and are they incapable? It seems that they are at this point.
Well, it appears that way. I'm shocked that after 7 years of Obamacare and all these different votes that they took, that they didn't have a plan day one to put in front of the president.
It should have been ready to go. They had so much time to really think it through and come up with effective, appropriate solutions that we can all benefit from. All of us, not just a few of us, but all of us can benefit from. We know there are solutions to these problems. And for some reason, absolutely nothing got done.
It is astounding. And then Mitch McConnell was quoted, I think yesterday, Susan, that he felt that President Trump had excessive expectations. I think that I think that's very telling.
It is very telling because, quite frankly, I feel like Mitch McConnell's expectations are way too low.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow our government has forgotten who they work for.
Right. And I think they've been aspiring to mediocrity, if that.
And their goal, instead of working for the American people, is just to make sure they get reelected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And losing sight of what's really important for this country and why we sent them there in the first place.
Well, and Susan Harris, we'll be talking about millennials and the next generation as we get into the second segment. But I'm very concerned about our generation on what we're passing on to our kids. While we have not really been looking, the national debt, the U.S. debt has gone up. It's over $20 trillion. And typically, if we look back in the history of America, each generation has worked to pass on something better to the next generation, whether or not it's the Continental Army, you know, in the Revolutionary War, you know, freedom, Civil War, standing up to say that no man should own another, World War II, you know, Molly and I do the World War II project, where we're people, blood and treasure, so that we passed on something good to the next generation. And I cannot believe that our generation is thinking about giving the next generation a big IOU.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it makes me sad that we haven't had the forthrightness to do the right thing.
And it goes right back to Congress. Apparently, some of the wealthiest zip codes in America are right around Washington, D.C. They don't create anything. They don't manufacture anything. And I think the American people are not going to put up with this. I think we're going to see something very interesting happen at this next election cycle unless they get their act together.
I hope they don't put up with it. And, you know, let's start having our lawmakers subject to the laws that the rest of us are subject to.
What a great idea. So this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Molly's out on vacation today, and we have Susan Harris in studio with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking about deferred or delayed gratification. What a novel idea in 2017 America. We'll be right back. When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the American sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, August 4th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include The Emoji Movie, Dark Tower, and Valerian. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-ounce pizza and two 16-ounce sodas for just $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.net and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Our phone number, if you decide that you want to jump in on this conversation today, is 303-632-4160. Molly is on vacation. She's actually taken a couple of days off, and we hardly ever take time off. So she's down in South Florida scalloping with her family, and I hope she is just actually resting and getting, just having a great time, enjoying the sun. And except for the fact that she got hit in the toll booth line, and I hope it wasn't her fault. So in studio with us is Susan Harris. And Susan is a friend. She's also the board president of a local nonprofit, Mile High Behavioral Healthcare, a former CPA, CFO, a wife, a mom. And her current mission in life, she says she wants to inspire others to take responsibility and fully engage in their own health and happiness. Susan, that is really the American idea, that people could follow their, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, so they can thrive and prosper. It is a noble, noble mission.
Yes, absolutely. And it really is the only way that you can change the world, is to take a look at yourself and address your own health and happiness, so that you can go out into the world and your community and be the best person that you can be for that community. I know you and Molly and I have talked a lot recently about, you know, what seems to be holding back some of our young people that we have been speaking with lately. Why don't they seem as motivated as we were when we were young, or as ambitious? Not, I don't know if ambitious is the right word, but driven maybe to go out there and succeed. We talked about one survey that suggested that many of the younger generation are just wanting to get a government job and kind of ride off into the sunset and just sort of get by for the rest of their lives, instead of really going out there and achieving something and being the best person they can be.
Well, you know, Susan, and I mean, I don't want to judge for anybody. I think that each person has their own, their own desires and how they want to live their life. So this is not a judgment on anybody, except I think that each person needs to have the dignity of a job and the dignity of taking care of themselves. Now, granted, Susan, I think there is a percentage of people that really do need help. And I don't think that,
absolutely,
I don't think that that has to be government. I really think
right.
that Americans are very generous people. And I think that we historically, up until we got into this whole big government stuff, we used to take care of that, those people.
Yes. Yes, they were taken care of by their own families, their own churches, their own communities. If they weren't involved in a church, communities took care of each other. The government didn't have to step in.
Right. So we're going to put that over there, because we're going to be talking about probably the other 95%. And I think that a lot of our kids have grown up with kind of this idea that if somebody is successful, it is because they took something from somebody else. I've heard that, in, you know, taught in schools or kind of subjectively taught. And I've heard even successful people get up and say, you know, I am doing this because I want to give back. And I have always challenged my friends on that, because if you say that you want to give back, that implies that you took something that wasn't yours. So instead of giving back, it's, you know, if you've created a job or if you've created a business and been successful and made money, and it's because you have created something of value that other people are willing to trade their hard-earned dollars for, and that makes their life better.
Right. It's not giving back. It's just giving. It's contributing your talents to your community. It's not about giving back. Like, you don't owe anyone anything, but you want to contribute because it makes you feel good and it makes your community a better place.
Mm-hmm. So what, well, I guess there's one other thing that I'd like to just kind of throw out there, and we haven't really talked about this, but that is this kind of this work-life balance, which I think is, you know, certainly we want to try to get balance. And my kids are going to tell you that I work a lot. You know, I grew up in Western Kansas, farming community, where you worked as a hobby.
Yes, yes.
But with that, what'd they say? Hard work never hurt anybody, but, you know, I'm willing to give it a try. I think that the idea of work has not been held up like it used to be when I was a kid. There's this very interesting book by Senator Ben Sasse, said The Vanishing American Adult. And in some ways, I think that people today are encouraging our kids and also themselves to focus more on recreation than on work and creating. And then once that's accomplished, then, you know, you can certainly go and do what you want to do.
Yes, and not only on recreation, but also this idea that you need to pursue your passion, which I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Of course, you want to pursue what you're good at and pursue things that you're interested in. But sometimes your passion may be something that should be your hobby and not really your job that's going to, you know, pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be if you're very, very fortunate. But even those people, if you really talk to them, sacrificed something to be able to do that. They didn't just instantly become a success overnight. Right. They were willing to give something up to be able to pursue that.
And I think that that is one of the things that may be missing sometimes in our education system. One of the things working with some of the candidates for the Douglas County School Board slate of the Elevate slate of Randy Ryan, Deborah and Grant. And one of the focuses of this particular slate is vocational technical training for our kids. I don't have a college degree, Susan. However, I graduated from school, from high school, with the tools necessary. I can read, I can write, I can speak somewhat, sometimes on the radio, but I can add, subtract. You know, I had the tools that I could go out and then apply myself and work hard and eventually become a success. I was one of the youngest vice presidents at Betcher & Company, which was a very well-respected investment firm out here in Colorado before it was purchased by Kemper Securities. And I grew up with this idea that in America, if you apply yourself and you work hard and you have those basic tools, that anything is possible.
I think that's absolutely true. That's the key. You have to be willing to apply yourself. You have to be willing to give your time and effort. And you might not get to watch, 10 hours of Game of Thrones. You might actually have to work and read things that are appropriate to getting you ahead in your career to make that happen.
Right. And so this idea of just an 8-hour job and then walking away, certainly if somebody decides to do that, I actually knew some people that his passion, he had a country western band. This was in Missouri. And in fact, it was in Cape Girardeau, which is where Rush Limbaugh's from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anyway, this family, he was inducted into the Missouri Country Western Hall of Fame. And he loved to play, but they played on the weekends, and I think they probably did get paid, but I don't think it was enough to make a living. So
right.
He worked all week. His passion was the music and the band, and it was his wife's as well. And they would travel to all these different little locations and play because they loved it. But they didn't expect everybody else to, to support them. They made sure that they were supporting themselves over here and then had taken their hobby or their passion, as you mentioned, and made it taken their passion and their hobby and gone ahead and figured out how to fit that into their life.
They were able to do both,
mm-hmm.
Which that is a beautiful thing. If you're able to incorporate your passion into your life, I think you're very, very fortunate. And not everybody is able to do that, but it always requires some type of sacrifice. You can only imagine that they gave up every weekend to play their music because that's what they loved.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to do that.
Right. So there is sacrifice. There is, and that's going to go into, we're talking with Susan Harris. She's the board president of a local nonprofit. She's a wife, a mom. She's a former CPA, CFO. And her purpose, her mission in life right now is to inspire others to take responsibility and fully engage in their own health and happiness. But your story and your husband's story is really fascinating. So why don't we start there?
Sure. So we landed in Denver, Colorado in 1986. And because of a number of circumstances, my husband ended up leaving a very lucrative job with a large oil company so that we could stay in Denver because we loved Colorado. And he took a huge pay cut and went to work for a very small chemical manufacturing company. And I had a job with a large CPA firm, and we did not have children, so we could manage our finances that way. And over time, my husband saw an opportunity in the marketplace to start his own chemical manufacturing company. We had no financial resources to do that with. So we took our life savings, which was just a few thousand dollars at that time, and bought a car and a computer. So our life savings of a few thousand dollars, a car and a computer, and he started this company.
Wow.
He quit his job. But the other thing that we did is we had just built a 3,500 square foot brand new home in Highlands Ranch. And we put it on the market, sold it, and moved into a 1,200 square foot starter home in Highlands Ranch so that we could afford for him to pursue this business opportunity.
That's a big sacrifice.
It was a big sacrifice. He did not take a salary for a number of years. I did have a very good job, but it was a big adjustment learning to live on just my income and putting all of his earnings right back into the company and not taking anything out of that business to get it going.
I think I probably know the answer to this question, but once you take that leap of faith and put yourself out on the line like that, he wasn't just doing a 40-hour week, was he?
Absolutely not. He still doesn't do a 40-hour week, and this is 25-plus years later. My husband is much like you. He loves to work. Work is fun for him. He really enjoys work, and he gets a lot of affirmation from work. But he certainly did not work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday because it was his baby, his business. He wanted it to succeed. So the business actually went through quite a number of challenges. I don't know if you remember the big blizzard that we had. I want to say it was in 2001.
Was it like in October?
In March.
Oh, in March.
So I could have their year wrong. Okay. It was in the early 2000s. But we were leasing a facility, and that blizzard collapsed our roof. We lost our entire facility. My husband had actually parked his car inside the building. We lost his car. Again, we were faced with a huge, huge challenge, and a lot of sacrifices had to be made to keep the company afloat and get it turned around quickly for our employees to still have jobs.
Right. Well, I think, Damon, are we going to be going to break right now or just a couple of minutes? I think. Okay, here we go. Just watching the clock here because I want to make sure that we get all your story. And so let's go to break, Susan.
Yeah.
Because that had to be devastating to have that blizzard collapse the roof and to go and take a look at it. So when we come back, let's talk about your thought process.
Okay.
At that time. This is Susan Harris with Kim Munson. Molly's on vacation. We're the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back.
And now, The Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Creeble.
In America, we have National Lemonade Day. Thanks to an organization that thought such an event would be a great way to teach kids how to start, own, and operate their own business. A lemonade stand. They host events in 36 cities, but sadly not in hundreds of other communities where kids' lemonade stands are illegal. We all understand concerns about food prepared in kitchens that may not be approved by the health department. But if we look at such rules through the lens of liberty, we should realize they are teaching the wrong lessons. Kids are learning that government regulations, zoning laws, licenses, and taxes destroy their small businesses and discourage them from ever trying again. They're already defeated entrepreneurs. Let's stand up against these foolish regulations and defend freedom, starting with our own children.
The Lens of Liberty is brought to you by the Vernon K. Creeble Foundation.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We have in studio with us Susan Harris, and she's the board president of a local nonprofit, Mile High Behavioral Health, a former CPA, CFO, wife, mom, and it's great to have you here, Susan. Before we get into our conversation, I just wanted to, do you ever have computer problems?
Quite often.
Well, you know what? There's going to be something really great that's going to be happening soon. Evan, your IT guy, is a network of IT professionals that are ready to provide on-demand help with your computer needs. And if you go to evanyouritguy.com and scroll down to the bottom, under the Discover tab, you'll see free webcam cover. And if you click on that and fill out your contact form and be sure and include your mailing address and mention the AmeriChicks, they'll send you a webcam cover so that Molly used to have all this tape on here. It was just really ugly, Susan. So isn't this cool?
Right. I love that idea.
Yeah. So Evan, your IT guy, is a new company, and they think that they're going to be going live probably middle part of September. So go ahead, sign up. You'll get all of the information, and that is evanyouritguy.com. And be sure and tell them that you know the AmeriChicks.
So we're really excited. They're one of our new partners, and we just
what
really are
What a great
innovation.
Excited. That sounds, are you going to be able to just contact them if you have a problem?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
They will, one of their experts will contact you?
Absolutely. It's 24/7, so you could be in your pajamas, you know,
oh, that's
late at
so
night
great.
And have a problem.
Right.
You contact Evan, your IT guy, and you're going to be taken care of. And the other thing that's really interesting that they're going to do, Susan, is you pay for like the first, you know, your first few minutes or whatever.
Right.
And they've put their pricing structure so that they're motivated to solve the problem because it's a declining cost structure. The longer
so
that you're on the line.
So the quicker they get you an answer.
You got it.
The better.
And then they also are looking to hire a lot of veterans. So I just think it's a really great new little company.
That is such good news. I'm really happy to hear about that company.
Yeah. So it's evanyouritguy.com. So now, before we went to break, we were talking about you and your husband's business, a manufacturing business. And you had said that the big March, those wet spring snowstorms, I mean, my gosh.
Yes. And I apologize. I can't remember the exact year, but it was in March. And we had a huge, huge snowstorm. It was a blizzard. My kids loved it because they were out of school, and mm-hmm. the next day it was, of course, gorgeous and sunny
right.
again,
mm-hmm.
and we got to play in the snow. But overnight, our manufacturing plant completely collapsed. We lost everything. And, you know, what was really amazing about it, though, Kim, is our employees showed up the next day.
Wow.
And helped us start the cleanup process.
Wow.
And they didn't even know if they would have a job going forward because everything was in ruin. But my husband, I stayed home and manned the front at home, and he just powered through all of the details of making an insurance claim and getting the plant up and running. They were up and running again at a different location within a week.
So astounding.
It was quite a miracle. It really was. And as I was telling you off the air, my husband and I had been, we knew that we needed to expand the facility. Our facility was too small, and we really needed to go out and take the plunge, go into debt, buy a property, and make it our own. And we just did not have the courage to do that. So looking back on the event, we sort of feel like it was the impetus to actually forcing us mm-hmm. to take the risk.
Wow.
So it worked out for the best.
Yeah. You know, Susan, I can't imagine. I guess actually I can because I come from a farming community, and I shared it during break that, in fact, even this last year, I was down in Kansas and had looked out the front window to this just acres and acres of beautiful wheat field. The next weekend, it was totally hailed out. And it's just a sinking feeling. You kind of have to go through it and get a grasp on what's going on. And then, like you say, you've got to just power through it. You've just got to get up and start walking and go through it.
That's right. That's right. It's definitely a growth process. We learned so much from going through that process about ourselves, about the business, and really just about the company in general and the culture that my husband had created. Because, you know, as I said, our employees hung in there with us, even though they had no idea if they were going to have a job. So we really felt blessed to have a group of people that wanted us to succeed because our success meant their success as well.
I love that. And personnel, having the right personnel is really important. I was talking with one of my kids the other day, and we're just talking about personnel. And I said, you know, it's a tricky thing in a business. I said, you know, Washington, George Washington, he had challenges sometimes, you know, but to get the right people, you know, is one of the important things to be a success. It sounds like that's one of the reasons why you were up and running within a week.
I think so. It was really just kudos to the employees that worked for us. Mm-hmm. Most of them still work there. So,
wow. It's also, I'm sure it is the employees. It's also leadership. And of course, that could go back to what we were talking about.
Well, I'm a little biased since my husband does run the company.
So he's probably a pretty good leader. But when you look at the actual things that have happened, I think that there's a real testimony to that. Let's go over to what we were really going to talk about today.
Well,
how's that?
I think, honestly, I think I wanted to tell that story because I think it really relates to what I wanted to share with you today. And that was some thoughts about just the idea around deferred gratification. And I had done a little research about this topic. I wanted just to give a definition of what deferred gratification is. This was from Wikipedia, but it states that deferred gratification is the ability to resist temptation for an immediate reward and wait for a later reward. It's generally associated with resisting a smaller but more immediate reward in order to receive a larger, more enduring one. Some people might just call it impulse control.
Okay.
But based on just a little bit of research that I did, and you think about it, I guess it's common sense, but it turns out your ability to defer gratification is an indicator of how successful you're going to be in many, many areas of life. And so the first thought might come to your mind would be your finances. Are you able to not buy the pair of shoes in the department store that you're walking by because you are saving for a vacation that you want to mm-hmm. go on in the future, or you're saving for a down payment for a home? You know, personal finances is a great example of where deferred gratification really comes into play mm-hmm. in your ability to set goals and achieve them.
Well, and I'm not sure that we have really been teaching that. And I say that, though, you know, I know that some of my kids went through the Dave Ramsey course as they were, you know, preparing to get married and all. And I think that that has been really a great thing for them because they really sit down and look at, you know, should we do this now or should we wait? And it's been just really impressive watching them do that.
Well, that's great to hear that they have done that. You know, some study there was a study done back in the 60s with some children. A pretty famous study with a Stanford professor. It's called the Marshmallow Experiment.
I've heard of that.
Anyway, it's kind of funny. This professor sat a child down in a room and gave them two marshmallows and basically said, "Don't eat the marshmallows until I come back. If you eat one, you can't have the other. If you don't eat either one, then you can have both of them." And so he left these children for 15 minutes. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have, as an adult, lasted that long.
I don't think I would.
If someone told
yeah.
me not to do it, I would be so tempted to do it. But some children, of course, were successful and did not eat the marshmallows. Some ate one, some ate two. You know, it was a variety of results. They've studied those children for 40 years, and they found over time, the children that were able to delay gratification had higher SAT scores, lower rates of substance abuse, lower rates of obesity, lower divorce rates, better stress responses, better social skills, higher levels of income and career success. The list just goes on and on.
That is astounding.
Yeah, it's just
something
we don't really think about a lot, our ability to delay gratification. But it really impacts our lives on so many levels. Financially, health-wise, you know, if you've ever tried to lose weight, good luck delaying your gratification, right?
That's for
Pass
sure.
Pass up that donut.
Yeah. Susan Harris, when we come back, we're going to talk about whether or not this is genetic or if you can make a change in your life. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
In America, we have National Lemonade Day, thanks to an organization that thought such an event would be a great way to teach kids how to start, own, and operate their own business, a lemonade stand. They host events in 36 cities, but sadly not in hundreds of other communities where kids' lemonade stands are illegal. We all understand concerns about food prepared in kitchens that may not be approved by the health department. But if we look at such rules through the lens of liberty, we should realize they are teaching the wrong lessons. Kids are learning that government regulations, zoning laws, licenses, and taxes destroy their small businesses and discourage them from ever trying again. They're already defeated entrepreneurs. Let's stand up against these foolish regulations and defend freedom, starting with our own children.
The Lens of Liberty is brought to you by the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Molly Vogt is taking a couple of days off. She is down in South Florida getting some sun, doing a little snorkeling. And so I hope
so
she's
jealous.
I hope she's having a great time. In studio, we have with us Susan Harris. Susan is a new, really good friend of the AmeriChicks. She is a woman who cares deeply about others. She's a board president of a local nonprofit, Mile High Behavioral Health. She's a former CPA, CFO, wife, mom. And her mission is to inspire others to take responsibility and fully engage in their own health and happiness. So we've been talking about just kind of some personal experiences that Susan and her husband had in building a successful business and delaying gratification. And she had just shared with us this really interesting experiment, the marshmallow experiment, which I'd heard about that. It was that Stanford experiment back in the 60s.
Yes. I mean, it's a fairly well-known experiment, but I had heard of it, but I had never really paid attention to it.
Yeah. And what it showed, these were kiddos that had two marshmallows in front of them and were told to wait until they had permission to eat them, right?
Right.
And those that waited, it was just amazing what you said. Kids with the ability to delay gratification typically have had higher SAT scores, lower rates of substance abuse, lower rates of obesity, lower divorce rates, better stress responses, better social skills, higher levels of income and career success. Seems like there must be a recipe there. Now, I'm going to ask you, Susan, is being able to delay gratification or defer gratification, is it genetic or is it something that everybody can do?
Well, I think, of course, some people are naturally good at delaying gratification. I think for some people it just comes naturally, and maybe that's genetic, I'm not sure. But all of us, however, have the ability to improve on our skills as far as delaying gratification. And there are a few little tricks that you can play to help you learn to delay gratification. And I know, especially when you talk about losing weight, that's a real concrete example of where it can be really difficult. The minute you tell yourself you shouldn't eat something, mm-hmm. the marshmallow experiment's a perfect example, your mind starts thinking, I'm going to eat mm-hmm. that whatever it is.
You know, that's interesting that you would say that, because I hate to admit that. At one point in time in my life, I was almost 40 pounds heavier than I am right now. And I did Weight Watchers. I mean, I didn't do the program. My mom and my grandmother always really fought their weight, so I just kind of, you know, did the routine.
Right.
But it really, it's kind of a mind thing, you know, do I need to eat this or do I need to eat all that? And, you know, so yes, delaying gratification can really affect your weight.
Yes, absolutely. So some of the ideas that I've run across and some of them I've used is to just use distraction. You know, just distract yourself for a few minutes and then that urge to be compulsive will go away.
Okay.
Another is just to remove the temptation as an option.
That's probably a good idea.
In my house, I'm not allowed to have M&Ms in my house because I cannot say no to an M&M.
Okay.
So I just have to keep them out of my house.
Okay. That's a good idea.
You know, another way is to just reframe your thinking around whatever it is you're trying to resist. Instead of thinking about it as a struggle to resist something, think about how good you're going to feel after you've accomplished whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, really tell yourself, you know, I am so proud of myself for not eating that bag of M&Ms. I feel better, I look better, and it's worth it.
Now I'm kind of smiling on that because a friend of mine said the same thing. I said, I really would like to start to do sit-ups, except I hate doing sit-ups. And she said, well, just think about how great you'll feel after you do them. And I'm kind of like, nice try, Sue. Thanks, Sue.
Right. Yeah, okay. Working out is another great example of when you have to defer gratification. Are you going to sit on the couch and watch TV? Or are you going to go and do a workout?
Right.
I call my workouts horribly awesome because, yes, I hate doing them, but I feel awesome when I'm done.
Okay, and I'm going to use that.
I do use that approach for sure. Another great thing is to know why, definitely know why you're bypassing something. Why are you giving something up? Remind yourself, what is it that you really want? And if you can keep that in your mind, even put a sticky note on your refrigerator or in your car, depending on the issue you're trying to deal with. Remind yourself why you're trying to accomplish something.
Excellent.
And it makes it a lot easier to say no.
Excellent. Okay. So that's all great, a wonderful template. But what about, I see here you said there's some obstacles and influences that are challenging.
Yeah, well, I just feel like our culture in general is all about instant gratification instead mm-hmm. of delayed gratification right now. We've really moved more toward instant gratification in that direction. For example, you can instantly text someone and get in touch with them.
Right.
You can instantly send a photograph to someone. It's just constant.
That didn't go very well for Anthony Weiner.
That's true. Yeah. Be careful. You know, even the names of some of the apps that are out there right now, Snapchat, mm-hmm. Instagram, Amazon Prime, you can have something shipped to your home in 48 hours. You don't even have to wait to make a decision about a purchase. You go online, click a few buttons, in 48 hours, it's at your door.
It's astounding, but it is disconcerting as well.
Yeah, and I think there's this illusion, too, with all these apps where people are constantly posting what's going on in their lives. There's this illusion that success comes easy, that people who are celebrities or who have been successful in business, that it happened overnight. That you don't see all the years of work and sacrifice that happened for them to reach that point before they were ever, you know, had a million followers on Facebook mm-hmm. or Instagram or Twitter. Mm-hmm. You don't see the hard work that went into that. All you see is the results. So there, it creates an illusion that it was easy.
Mm-hmm. So you've kind of mentioned that this might, well, you said the political swing of urban areas and intellectuals to the left. So, you know, what are you thinking about there, Susan Harris?
Yeah, well, I have some thoughts about why urban areas have really swung to the left and the intellectuals in our communities. I feel like a lot of times people love the idea that there is an instant solution to a problem. And so we live such fast-paced lives, and we just want to get on with our life. And if the government can solve a problem for us, good. Let's let them do it. Then we don't have to deal with it.
But then we're giving up power. We're giving up money. We're giving up a lot of our lives when we let that happen.
Absolutely. But I think we get such a relief. We feel this sense of relief if someone else will just take care of the problem so that we don't have to step up to the plate and do the hard work and get things done.
Interesting perspective.
I also feel like it's really hard for us in our society, especially with all of the communications that go on, photographs, videos that we see of people that are in need, even animals. We have a very hard time tolerating the fact that someone else might be suffering on any level. And there may be times, Kim, when other people need to suffer, and I don't mean go, you know, starve or anything like that, but have some discomfort in their life for a short period of time in order for them to thrive in the long term. Mm-hmm. So if you have a government entity that steps in and rescues people constantly, those people are never given an opportunity to actually thrive in the long term. That opportunity is really being stolen from them because we as a community just cannot endure that someone might have to have an uncomfortable situation in the short term.
You know, Susan, that's interesting that you say that. And I think that the politicians and bureaucrats have realized that about everyday American people and the discomfort in thinking that somebody else might, as you mentioned, suffer. And so, I mean, I want to think like homelessness. Well, it tugs on our heartstrings. We really don't want to think about somebody being cold or not having food. It's actually turned into a really big business. And so the politicians and bureaucrats have been able to figure out a way to take that heartstring thing, say we're going to help these people. And in essence, I think it hurts them because it doesn't kind of encourage them to step out and take care of themselves.
Right. The minute you provide comfort for someone who's out in the cold, they will no longer seek their own comfort. They will not try to solve their own problem because you gave it to them. And I'm not saying in every circumstance we shouldn't, you know,
sure.
we shouldn't give that to someone. But if you continually rescue people and don't allow them the opportunity to solve their own problems and learn that they are capable of solving their own problems, you really are robbing them of an opportunity to thrive.
Well, and it really is just like a parent. You know, at some point in time,
it really is.
You really need to let the little chicks, you know, get out of the nest. And it's a hard thing to do as a mom.
It's very hard. We are all so compassionate. Our first instinct is to rescue someone who's in trouble. Of course, that is our first instinct. But I think as a community, we need to really take a look at, are we stealing a long-term opportunity from people who are poor or homeless? Are we really stealing something from them by offering them these short-term solutions?
Well, I think that you and I probably would agree that, I mean, I think probably yes. I mean, there's certainly, you know, if somebody is definitely in need, we don't want to walk by that. But by making people dependent on all these programs and not, you know, delaying their gratification, they need to delay gratification and kind of pick themselves up and,
yes,
and become responsible for themselves. And we are doing them a disservice. When we're just handing something over immediately and making ourselves feel better so that we can just go on along and think that that problem might be taken care of.
Right. When in reality, we've just created a new problem, and that is a person who's now dependent on our help.
Right. So, well, Susan Harris, we are just about out of time. This has gone so quickly.
This hour flies by.
It does. Thank you so much for being in studio with us here today.
Thank you for having me. And I had such a great time.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again soon.
I would love it.
Okay, great. Wanted to end today. Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, has written a very interesting book about the vanishing American adult. And I think that segues very well into this whole delayed gratification. And wanted to give you this, his last quote about being an engaged citizen in the Republic. He says it requires reasoned debate, critical thinking, the thoughtful contesting of ideas, and individuals willing to stand up for what they believe in, even when they're challenged. So, Susan Harris, thank you so much. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim signing off. You have a great evening. Tomorrow, World War II Project, it's going to be about the home front.